This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Welcome aboard. Here we go. Now we've got some volume. Yes, it's me, Pete Dillon. Welcome aboard the Cravings MasterChef truck. Today we are going to meet some tremendously interesting folk, the first of which is a Melbourne boy who has taken on the world and done an extraordinary job of that. That's Luke Mangan. We'll also be meeting again Robin Lewis from Visit Vineyards, who's going to tell us where to go. And a new little wine company who are specialising in what are called avant-garde wines and their distribution called Vino Bambino. And we'll speak to their Managing Director, Mark Cingarella, in just a few minutes. First, though, in foodie news, we've heard that Sarah Wilson has been axed from MasterChef and there will be no presenter for the next series. Interestingly, I wonder why she might have been there in the first place. The more interesting things about MasterChef, however, are in fact that the announcements have been made for Celebrity MasterChef. And what a cast it's going to be. 18 incredibly interesting folk, some of whom I reckon would know their way around the kitchen. George Negus, journalist from SBS, ABC, Channel 9, and basically everywhere. Simon Westaway, actor from Underbelly, In Excess's Kirk Pengilly, comedian and panellist, I guess you'll call him, from Talking About Your Generation, Josh Thomas. Sydney Swans, footballer, and one of my little fantasies, Ryan O'Keefe, so I'll certainly be watching that. Singer Alex Lloyd, model Rachel Finch, Fuzzy Agoli from television, video hits or whatever she does. Designer Alex Perry, Michelle Bridges, who's the trainer from The Biggest Loser. I think she'll be cooking a lot of lettuce. Peter Fitzsimons, who's a former rugby union player, author, and a bit of a media tart. The very dishy Eamon Sullivan, Australian Olympic swimmer and world record holder, Queensland Premier Anna Bligh, former SBS newsreader and also worked for Choice for quite some time in Dear and I Do. From High Five, Kathleen De Leon, or formerly of High Five, comedian Peter Rosethorne, cricketer Simon Kadich, and, of course, everybody's favourite comedian, Wendy Harmer. What a cracking-looking cast this is going to be. We'll speak to Matt Preston in this very studio in just a couple of weeks, and we'll talk to him about Celebrity MasterChef and everything that goes with it. But before that, you may remember a few weeks ago, I was speaking to Guy Grossi here in the studio, he had a bit of a chat. And he said he remembers a 17-year-old pimply-faced boy coming into contact with him as a very young man, looking to work in the industry that we talk about every week as a chef. You're going to meet him in just a minute. His name is Luke Mangan, and he's on the phone. Goodness only knows where he's lolling about. Good afternoon, Luke.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good, thank you. Please tell me you're in the country.
I am, but I'm in Brisbane.
Okay, because you are just all over the place. So you've got businesses in...
Can we just go back to the pimply-faced boy thing?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not happy about that.
Aren't you?
You should have seen Guy when he was that young.
Well, look, his son Carlo, who runs the floor at Merca at Tolano...
I think Carlo runs the whole empire, not Guy. I think Guy's bluffing us all.
Well, Carlo looks ridiculously like Guy. The mannerisms, the behaviours... If anybody has dined at Grossi Florentino or indeed Merca at the Tolano, you'll know the young man I speak of because he's a dead spit for his dad.
He is, and they're very good restaurants as well.
I tell you what, he's going to be a good operator like Guy as well.
Yes.
Now, Luke, I just need to give our listeners a bit of a précis of you because they may have seen you sort of your face pop up here and there. Mm. I'm just trying to sort out what's up with this phone line as well. It sounds like I'm talking in a water tank.
Stick your head out and see if it changes.
It's not you, it's me, Luke.
Okay.
Now, you started... You're a young Melbourne boy, one of seven boys, if my memory serves me correct.
That's correct.
Grew up in Melbourne, and you now live in Sydney, but, of course, you have restaurants in Tokyo, in San Francisco, in Sydney, and yeah. You're a bit of a chef to the stars, Luke Mangan. tell me a bit about cooking for certainly, our Princess Mary and Fred's wedding.
Well, that was a really good experience. Spending a whole week over in Denmark for the build up to the wedding and cooking lots of dinners and everything like that. So it was great meeting them and great to showcase great Australian produce and wine.
Because she's a really nice girl, isn't she, Mary?
Very nice, very nice. And he is just as nice as well, really charming and humble and very, very friendly, which is good.
Good. Now, as well as doing the wedding, you're basically on call for Sir Richard Branson of the Virgin Empire.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty lucky there. That was we look after food on Virgin America First Class, and soon to be announced something else from Sydney to LA, I think.
Oh, nice. So, Sir Richard, obviously, I know, has called upon you for his private events and functions on his island.
Yeah, so that was pretty amazing. He asked me to go to his private island in the Caribbean called Necca.
I was going
to
say it's Necca, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and I ended up spending 10 days on the island. And funny, we cook a few dinners and things like that, but we got there with a couple of my chefs, and our first morning we had breakfast with Richard and his family, and Richard said, look, you know, enjoy the island for 10 days. There's only one real dinner I need you to cook, and that's tomorrow night. It's just 8 people, and then you can have the rest of the time off. And that was that.
I tell you what, it sounds awfully difficult being you, Luke.
It was pretty crazy, but he was luring me to do some food on one of the airlines and help him out with some of his private hotels. So what he did to me paid off, so let's put it that way.
Excellent. Now, look, I've got it. There's a list, it's as long as my leg, of things that you do and you have done, including winning GQ Man of the Year in the chef's category, I believe.
Yeah, I think they got the wrong guy for that, but that's okay.
Back in 2003. And also, in and about writing books, and you've got a new restaurant that's opening on the Pacific Jewel, which is a P&O cruise.
Yeah, we're opening Salt Grill, which is a simplified version of our Salt restaurant, which is in Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we're doing Salt Grill on 4 of their new cruise ships over the next 4 years.
And then you're also opening a gastropub here in Melbourne called The Palace by Luke Mangan.
I can't wait, because it's my first restaurant in Melbourne, and being from Melbourne, I'm really looking forward to it.
When's that opening, Luke?
We hope to open end of October, early November. And it's just going to be it's quite big. We'll seat about 150. We've got a big beer garden, and the food's going to be really nice and simple with great steaks and things like that. So, and got a really a great interior designer called Neil Bradford, who did the Lindrum Hotel in Melbourne, if
yep.
you know that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to sort of getting back to the home turf.
Excellent. The voice you're listening to is, in fact, that of Luke Mangan, who is quite possibly one of Australia's busiest chefs. I say you're one of the busiest folk in the country. You've got your fourth book coming out in November.
I know. I'm looking forward to that. It's been a lot of work. It's Luke Mangan at home. So
And in the mood, I believe.
Dun, and dun. In the mood. You know, it's a book with simple recipes and affordable recipes, and you know, just stuff you can cook simply, and lots of drink recipes and cocktails and things like that.
Luke, it begs the question that, are you ever at home, given this ridiculous schedule of being in Japan, in the States, on these cruises, writing books, doing television shows in the United States? Where is there time for Luke Mangan to be at home?
Well, there is, and I probably spend about 25 weeks of the year in Australia, so... And that's, you know, and the lucky thing for me is I've got great chefs in each of the restaurants. And my chef in Glass in Sydney has been with me for 10 years. My chef in Tokyo has been with me for 10 years. So, you know, they really know what they're doing and run the restaurants well. So it enables me to go and do these things and expand the business.
Which is ever expanding. You also, again, I want to sort of preface an interview we did last week with... A fellow I'm assuming you'd know, Fast Ed Helmaghi. Do you know Ed?
Who is it again?
Ed Helmaghi, the Fast Ed from Channel 7's Better Homes and Gardens.
I don't personally know Ed, no.
You need to track him down. He's a cracking bloke. But he was saying that he feels a responsibility to give back, to get involved with charity, and it's something that you do as well, isn't it?
Yeah, look, we do. One of the important things for me is to... We've got appetiteforexcellence.com, which is a program for young chefs, young restaurateurs and young waiters. And that enables, you know, to encourage young chefs and restaurateurs and waiters in the business. But also into charities. You know, we do a lot for the Starlight Foundation and kids with cancer, etc. But they're all good causes.
You're also involved with... Is it the Royal Children's Hospital and the James Beard Foundation in New York?
Exactly. We've done lots of dinners for them, and in fact, we might be doing another James Beard dinner in New York early next year.
What is the James Beard Foundation?
Well, it's a foundation for you know, emerging talent, I guess. Young chefs come in and showcase all their skills and things, and the money that is raised from it goes to supporting young chefs and restaurateurs, but also, you know, starting off cooking schools, etc., etc.
So it's, again, it's part of the development of young talent.
Yeah.
Luke, we've got to do a bit of quick little bit of community stuff, but hang on the line for us. We'll be back with you in just a second.
Sure.
This is Cravings on Joy 94.9. My name is Pete Dillon. Luke Mangan is my first guest, and he'll be back with me in just a second. This is Cravings on Joy 94.9. My name is Pete Dillon. To the anonymous texter who found my little line about cooking lettuce. Very funny. Thank you very much. Luke Mangan is my first guest. He's on the phone, lolling about on a beach somewhere just outside of Brisbane, I'm assuming, having a good time. Or he'll be, in fact, opening a restaurant somewhere. Welcome back, Luke.
Thank you.
Now, I want to talk to you about your journey. You're a young fellow of seven boys, born in Victoria. How did you get to be this uber chef who has a million and one ticks to his name?
Well, I think a lot of luck played its way, but I started an apprenticeship cooking with Herman Schneider at 15 in Two Faces in South Yarra.
A few years ago, you're showing your age.
So that was starting at a very young age, and then I finished my apprenticeship there after 5 years and went off to London to cook for 4 years and cooked with the Roux brothers at the famous Waterside Inn. Then after that, came back to Melbourne, but didn't have much luck. Some of the restaurants I worked in sort of didn't work out, and then I went up to Sydney and opened, got offered a job to run Hotel CBD, which is owned by John Hemmings from the Marybelle Group.
Mm-hmm.
And that opened in 94, and I was pretty young, and I was a head chef, and really I got really lucky. It was the right place at the right time when that opened, and we got well reviewed, and you know, it was a great restaurant. And after 4 years of that, decided to open my own place called Salt in Darlinghurst, and we had a lot of publicity build up towards that, which was great. And we opened just before the Olympics, which I think helped us on the international banner as well.
I was actually at an opening event at Salt back in 2000.
Say that again?
I was at the opening event for Salt back in 2000. I was living
in
the Sin City at that time.
Right, fantastic. So it was a really good time for us to be open. And, you know, had that for 6 years and then sold half of it to a Japanese company who have about 20 restaurants around the world, and then decided to not reopen Salt in Sydney and reopen a new version of it in Tokyo in the Marunouchi area. And we have a wine bar there and Salt there, and that's going really well, thank God. And then now we have Glass in the Sydney Hilton and South in San Francisco, and then again all the Salt grills on the cruise ships coming up.
Tell me about Salt in South in San Francisco.
Well, it's you know, I guess my philosophy is when we do restaurants overseas, all I want to do is showcase great Australian food and wines, and you know, I think we have some of the best produce in the world, and so what I like to do is bring in Australian beef and Australian lamb and seafood, and showcase that and with the wines, and so the food really in San Francisco is quite simple. It's more like a wine bar. It seats 50 and it's very casual, but showcasing the best Australian produce.
I'll be there in about a month. I'm sure to go in and check it out.
Yes. Oh, well, please let me know.
I will. Mate, you just touched on something that I think I'm going to give you a bit of a pain in the backside about. Flying all of this stuff in from Australia and showcasing our products overseas in places like Japan and the United States, how's the carbon footprint? And I'm looking at simply, I talk a lot to chefs and to restaurateurs about our environmental impact of doing this sort of thing.
Mm.
What? Tell me about the carbon footprint from flying all these products in.
Well, we obviously, when we're in any city, it is in Tokyo or San Francisco, we use 90% of the base ingredients is local, from the fruit and veg to the dairy and all that sort of thing. What we're showcasing is what's already on the ground there, which Oz Traders are big promoters in promoting Australian cuisine. Mm-hmm. So the seafood and the beef is on the ground there. In fact, some of the barramundi is actually farmed in America, and we use that as well. So that's how we sort of go around that. So we're not flying in, you know, honey, beetroot and things mm-hmm. like that from Australia. Sure. We're just using those main produce bits, and I would not say that that's a big part of our menu.
Mm. It's always probably a touchy question. I almost got stabbed by Donovan Cook from the Hong Kong Jockey Club for asking
him.
He's
the sort of guy who'd stab you.
Yeah, he is. He's a nice bloke, though, but geez, he's a bit edgy, isn't he?
No, he is a nice bloke. I actually worked with him for 2 years at the Waterside Inn.
Okay.
And we were there at the same time, and he taught me a lot. He's a great chef.
Mm, he's a cracking bloke, and he's got some really interesting stuff going on over there. It's nice that he has a bottomless pit of money to work with.
Yeah, that's right.
I want to talk quickly about the Waterside Inn before I let you go. What was it like working with Michelle and his brother?
Well, I was at the Waterside, and Michelle was based there. I only met Albert a couple of times, but Michelle Roux has been absolutely fantastic, and in fact... the Luke Mangan cookbook coming out in next month in October he's written the foreword to for me, which is really good because we've kept in touch for all the years that I haven't been in the UK. So and he comes out to Sydney and we catch up, and it's always good fun. He's very passionate and he's a great motivator.
I had the pleasure a couple of years ago of having lunch and then dinner with Michelle while he was here for the Melbourne Food and Wine Show.
Ah, right.
And yeah. he is a delightful man. The voice you can hear is that, of course, of Uber Chef, and, oh, look, we can call him a celebrity chef. He probably hates it, Luke Mangan. And if you did have a question for Luke, that's 0427JOY949 for the SMS. You can phone 96992949, or you can email onair@joy.org.au. Luke, we've talked about the book and the restaurants and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. What's next? Once you've done these next projects and you've launched the gastropub here in Melbourne, and we've got the book on the bookshelf in the kitchen with the cookbooks, what comes next for Luke Mangan?
Well, I think let's start in Melbourne. I think the gastropub, I think our partners have got many pubs down in Melbourne, and I would like to think that if this goes well, which I believe it will, because it's a concept that's affordable and it's, you know, comfort food, we might branch that out in Melbourne, hopefully, if it goes well. And then I'd like to perhaps do something in LA. And then if that goes well, then New York. And then after that, I think we should probably stop there.
Mm, and give yourself a bit of a rest.
But, you know, it's good fun. I enjoy what I do. I'm very lucky to wake up in the morning and love what I do. And I've got great staff who work for me and who run the restaurants and allow me to, you know, expand the business. So it's good. I'm very lucky.
Well, your passion is clearly evident by your commitment. And Luke Mangan, thank you for honouring us with your presence on Cravings.
Thank you for having me. And when I'm down in Melbourne soon, I'll have to pop into the studio and we can talk longer.
I would love you to. It would be good. Fantastic. We might get that Grossi fellow back so you can have a go at him about the pimply-faced youth
comment. Actually, I think the two of us in your studio together could be quite funny.
Well, that means I could probably take the day off, because neither of you are short of a word, are you? Luke, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you.
Take it easy.
Great.
That was Luke Mangan from pretty much everywhere. He's a really good bloke, and he will be opening the Palace by Luke Mangan in the Palace Hotel in South Melbourne, as you heard, late October. So get down and check that out, because his food is particularly good. I do have a text message here from Grant. Hi, Pete. Love to cook, love to experiment. Can you recommend any books or courses that will deal with the basics of how and why in cooking? Grant, I think in answer to that, it's about what makes you happy and comfortable, and don't be scared to experiment. I think there's some books that you can use. Stephanie Alexander's The Cook's Companion is pretty much a Bible for me. And books put out by some of our recent guests, like Ed Helmagi. Luke Mangan's new book that's coming out, Cooking With Him at Home, is I'm sure going to help answer your questions as well. And, of course, look forward to a couple of new ones, one from MasterChef judge George Kalambaras. Has a new book, Hellenic Republic, being released in just a little while. And also an upcoming guest, Pete Evans, who'll be with us just in a few weeks, who's got some really simple barbecue stuff as well. Bill Grange is another one you might want to get hold of. So have a look at those, or just go into your bookstore And get them to guide you and just have a sort of fossick through and find something that attracts your attention.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au or, if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Speaking of attracting attention, there is nobody that attracts attention to wine destinations like this delightful woman I have on the phone, Robin Lewis. Good afternoon.
Hi, Pete. How are you?
I'm tremendous. How are you?
Oh,
I'm
pleased to see spring here.
I tell you what, you're missing one cracking day here in Melbourne.
Am I?
It's 25 degrees. I'm sitting here looking out the window of these very luxurious Joy Studios and just looking at sunshine on Melbourne rooftops. It is indeed beautiful.
Wonderful. I'm just back from Sydney, actually, Pete, and it's pretty nice up there too.
I'm always fond of Sydney in spring. There should be a song about that.
Indeed.
So how are things going with Visit Vineyards?
Oh, really well, actually. We're sort of busy expanding around the country at the moment, and, yeah, things are going really well, Pete. I was just listening to Luke Mangan, and I thought if ever anyone needs to clone themselves, it's him. I've been thinking of doing the same, but...
How busy is
really
that man?
Scary.
It's disturbing how busy that man is.
It's amazing.
He's sort of one of those... He's like the Energizer Bunny. I don't know that he sleeps.
Oh, well, lucky him.
I think he might be a little bit robotic. For those that don't know, listeners that don't know, Robin has joined us three or four times now here on Cravings and has a website called visitvineyards.com. That website offers destinations for food, travel, accommodation in and around Victoria and probably quite broader. Robin can tell you more about it than I can. Give us a quick précis on what Visit Vineyards does, Robin.
We're really a guide to wine travel, including food, Pete. Of course, the two go together. We cover the whole of Australia now. We started in Victoria, really based around the Mornington Peninsula, and we're spreading around Melbourne, but we're being approached all around the country, and in fact, from Italy and France, and we even had an inquiry from India the other day for people who want to have their product put on our website. So it's really for wine and food travellers who want to find new things and suss out an itinerary, work out where they want to go on the weekend or plan a foodie holiday.
Which I'm about to do, actually. I'm having a little foodie holiday in the United States.
Are you?
Yeah.
You?
So I might have to send you a few words from the Napa Valley, perhaps.
Fantastic.
Going to the Napa Valley and Sonoma in California.
Oh,
but
nice.
Sorry, this is turning into a very personal chat. Now, you and I were talking midweek, and one of my questions to you, and you're able to help me out here, is... With a lot of recovery going on in Marysville, Kinglake area, pretty much bushfire-affected areas across the state after Black Saturday, and obviously there's recommendations coming out, or interim recommendations coming out of the Royal Commission, I wanted to talk about how wineries and winemakers can rebuild and things like smoke taint. Where sort of got hit the worst, as far as you're aware?
Well, I think the Dixons, as far as wine's concerned, we all know what happened at Marysville, of course, but as far as wine's concerned, really around the Dixons Creek area would seem to be the worst when the fires got to there. But, of course, what happened after that was smoke hung around the valley and caused problems. So some people lost their vines, but then others lost their crops later through smoke taint or through just excessive heat as well. So, you know, the Yarra Valley really suffered greatly from the bushfires, Pete, as we know. And then, of course, what happened after that was that travellers really thought, oh, it was a no-go area, and it was for a while, I guess, but now it's really open, well and truly open for business, and I think, you know, that's the message that people want to get out there now, that there's wonderful signs of spring, you know.
Oh, it's beautiful and green up there as well.
It's green, there's daffodils, there's spring blossoms, and it's just a really welcoming sight at the moment, and, you know, get out there and go and visit.
And it's part of the rebuilding process is, of course, for people to support Victorian business.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And there's been some amazing stories come out of it. I mean, all sorts of people have really pulled together to help, not just financially, but, for example, Mandala Wines, they lost their crops, so other people have contributed grapes so that at least they've got something to produce this year.
Mm.
And that's, there's a really lovely story there. And there's a little... Up at Yarra Glen, there was Hargraves Hill Brewery, and they'd almost, they'd only been established a few years, and they'd established a great reputation for handcrafted ales, and their brewery at Steeles Creek burnt down, but believe it or not, out of the ashes have come their new brewery at Lilydale, you know, which is even bigger. So there's all sorts of good stories coming out of it, Pete.
I guess it shows the tenacity of producers as well, in that it's pretty much a lot of them have just dusted themselves down and gotten on with it.
Well, that's right, and I think that's part of the Australian ethos in some ways, and if the fire doesn't beat you on the day, we certainly don't want to let it beat you afterwards. So
certainly not.
Do it. And there's a couple of really great festivals coming up in the Yarra Valley, Pete, that I'd like to mention.
Oh, please do.
Yes, they're in October. There's Shed Fest, which is on the 10th and 11th of October, and that's at various locations around the Yarra Valley. And you can check these out on our website on visitvineyards.com. And that's, you know, works on the principle that, you know, every winemaker's got a shed, and boys in their sheds, you know, there's a bit of a thing about that. So these are people opening their sheds, live music, entertainment, light meals and snacks. So it's some of the smaller winemakers who don't have big cellar doors, and they're sort of doing a more rustic style festival on the 10th and 11th of October.
There's nothing like a good shed fest.
Yeah, and the weekend after that there's another one, and that's in the Nillumbik Shire, which is really the closest vineyards to Melbourne, up in the northeast, just sort of around Eltham and around
Whittlesea
that area, slightly east of there. And I think if you're a ratepayer, you'll know where the boundaries are. I certainly didn't for a while, but even though I've driven through it a lot of times. But it's sort of around the Diamond Creek area, basically.
Yep, yep.
And they've got 17 smaller boutique winemakers are opening up there. Some have cellar doors, some don't, but they're all open on the following weekend. That's the 17th and 18th of October, and we'd, you know, really like to see people get out there and show their support at those.
Well, look, it's less than an hour's drive to get to Nillumbik.
Oh, sure.
From the CBD. So there's no reason why we shouldn't go out and support these small festivals, because this is, you know, looking after our own here in Victoria. And there's also places out in those areas to stay, isn't there?
Oh, definitely, indeed. I mean, there's some great locations to stay. And one of the ones that was affected by the fire is Immerse in the Yarra Valley. That's in the Dixons Creek area.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost the majority of their accommodation in their vineyards. But, you know, miraculously, the main complex survived. And so they're in the middle of rebuilding, but they've still got accommodation there. So that's a good place to go and stay and show you support. And lots of places to eat too, Pete. It's, you know, there's some fabulous experiences out there, and they're very much open for business, and I'd like everyone to know about that.
And, of course, there's nothing like a slow, lazy weekend in the Yarra Valley with a bit of a late breakfast and some wine tasting and calling into tiny little winemakers that only exist, really, in the market via cellar door.
That's right. I mean, you can start your day off at Dominic Porte, who's a flying winemaker. He's actually, believe it or not, a ninth-generation winemaker, and he was in Taltani, and then he was at Clover Hill in Tasmania, and now he's got his own winery at Cellar Door at Coldstream.
Mm-hmm.
He does great coffee too, which is really good.
Well, that's the perfect thing to kick off every day, and I think it's all in the main street of Healesville. You'll find Innocent Bystander, Giant Steps, who also do some great coffee and artisan bread.
They are fantastic. And, of course, if you're up in that area, drop into Tarawarra, which wasn't affected by the fires. And, of course, they have a fabulous experience there, particularly if you're interested in art and sculpture.
There's also, it reminds me of a the happiest day of my life was when I discovered there was something called breakfast wine. A number of the winemakers in the area making these beautiful little very low alcohol Moscatos, which are like it tastes like apple juice to me, and it's got a tiny, tiny little bit of frizzante, a little bit of bubble that sort of dances this green apple taste across your tongue.
They're perfect, Pete. There's a lot of winemakers coming out with wines in that style. I think we in Australia are starting to realise that high alcohol isn't necessarily what everybody wants, and particularly at brunch, for example, and there's some great wines coming out in that style now, and people have slightly looked down their noses at them in the past, but, you know, things are really changing there.
We spoke a couple of weeks ago to Ben, whose surname escapes me. He is the winemaker at Mitchelton. He is making some low-alcohol wines under the Priest label.
Right.
And also... Lindemans for a couple of years have been producing the early harvest wine, which I think they bought out late 2006, early 2007, with Gian Rooney as their ambassador or as their front person. And they, in particular, do some fantastic low-alcohol wines, which are perfect to have with lunch, and it means you're not stonkered at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
That's great, isn't it? Well, his children have just had their 40th birthday.
Yeah, that was last weekend.
He's Ben Haynes.
That's who he is.
Yeah, yes.
He's a lovely young fellow as well.
Very good.
And he was the young winemaker in 2008, I think. Young winemaker of the year.
Yes, he was. No, I didn't make it to the picnic. They had a whole weekend of celebrations and a fabulous picnic on the lawns there. So
and they
one
did
of
that.
Our members actually won a prize package to go there.
Nice.
So yes. So we're looking forward to hearing about it. Actually,
I'm sure you will. Now, Robin, we do have to let you go, unfortunately, because I've got a fellow that I've got to talk to about some avant-garde wine.
All right. Thanks very much, Pete. And look
good to talk to you, and we'll talk to you again soon.
And I hope everyone gets out to the Yarra Valley.
Yes, we've got those written down, and I'll give them a quick announce at the end of the program.
Cheers.
Thanks, Robin. Robin Lewis from Visit Vineyards, based in Tasmania, but now national, and it's certainly a website you want to jump onto and have a look. You can become a member of Visit Vineyards, where you get some fairly frequent updates on what's happening in and around Victoria, and it will certainly help you plan a little boozy holiday. Rush, we have a text message here. Thank you to Peter from Kinglake. The closest Nillumbik winery from the CBD is Swiper's Gully. It's 35 minutes from the city, and that's from Peter in Kinglake. Peter, thank you for that excellent piece of information. And just going back to a text message I got earlier from Grant, he's given me a bit of an explanation because clearly I wasn't quite getting the picture. I'm a very confident cook, but what I find is that I can find recipes galore, but very little on why those ingredients are used and what they do in the recipe. I like to play around with recipes, but don't want to remove a necessary component. Any books or courses that deal with this aspect of cooking, I already have Stephanie Alexander's book, and I refer to it as my Bible. Grant, the one thing I think, as far as a course, is an apprenticeship as a chef. Having done one of those, I guess that's where you learn why we use things like verjuice in a dish, or why you deglaze a pan with wine. These are all pretty much the building blocks of the trade. So I just think, my answer to you is keep experimenting. And if you find that there's something in a dish you don't want to use, take it out. That is a wonderful day with Joy 94.9. And this is Pete Dillon on Cravings. You've met already the busiest chef in Australia, Luke Mangan. We just spoke to Robin Lewis from visitvineyards.com. It's a really good website. I suggest you jump on board and have a look. She occasionally tells us where to go. And my next guest has just started a new business just not so long ago, and he's hooked up with his high school sweetheart, I think, in making that business work. And what he's dealing with is, we'll call them avant-garde wines, but I'm going to ask Mark Cingarella to tell us the story. Mark, welcome to Cravings.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Pete.
Tell us about avant-garde wines. Obviously, you're dealing with some interesting wineries that you're, in essence, selling onto venues. Is that a fair assumption?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, really what it's about is a band of small producers that, have some pretty interesting style of wines and style of vines and varieties of wines, things like Tempranillo and Grenache and things like Prosecco. And I'd imagine a lot of people in this country probably haven't even heard of grape varieties like that, like Prosecco.
I love Prosecco.
You've had a go at it, have you?
Look, I've tried about half a dozen. I was at an event recently that was the Veneto tourist region from Italy had come over to do a bit of a showcase. And they had this really grippy little Prosecco. For those that don't know, Prosecco is an Italian sparkling, similar to the sparklings that are made here and not quite as similar as those made in France. Quite an interesting style and a good alternative to a champagne, would you agree?
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly right. And one of the growers I've got is a little producer up in Mount Macedon called Mount Taronk. And they're at about 620 metres altitude, so it's a variety that wants cool climate, and the parents are the owners, and the parents of that particular vineyard were born up in Veneto, which is that part of the world where variety is native to. So it's a lovely wine. It's probably more of an aperitif style of champagne drinking. It's really sort of fresh and zesty, and Yeah, really lively style. We're drinking it about probably 11 p.m. last night, actually.
Nothing wrong with that. Now, you said it's Mount Taurong, spelt T-O-W-R-O-N-G.
Yeah, exactly right.
Excellent.
Yeah, so when you look at the Macedon Ranges, it's the smaller mountain to the right when you look looking at the Macedon Ranges from a distance.
You've got a few from up and around that area, haven't you? You've got the Dog Rock from the Pyrenees.
Yeah, the Dog Rock are in the Pyrenees. They're in the sort of the western stretch of the Pyrenees, not too far from the Grampians, really. So they're located virtually next door to a vineyard most people are familiar with, Mount Langy-Guerin. So they're sort of out sort of western district.
Avoca-ish.
Avoca-ish, yeah. Probably about 30 or 40 k west of Avoca, closer to Ararat, actually, not too far from Ararat. Yeah, but again, Alan and Andrea Hart, very interesting producers. You know, they've got Tempranillo, they've got Grenache. They're growing at about 400-metre altitude. These wines are... They're generally have alcohol levels of 12% and 13%. They're very different to the Barossa wine that we're familiar with. It might hit 15% and 16%. So but the beautiful thing is they're ripe. They're phenologically ripe wines. We're not seeing these big sort of jammy style sort of hedonistic wines. They're lovely and they've got a really interesting flavour spectrum, and they just offer something a little bit different on the palate. And obviously they're great with food.
Alan and Andrea actually travelled to Rioja in Spain to get a better idea of this wine, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They've been to Rioja a few times. They've also been to down to southern France in the southern Rhone, and this is where you see those grape varieties grown. Things like the Grenache and Tempranillo, Rioja being Tempranillo and Grenache and Shiraz and Mourvedre that you see in the southern Rhone. But interesting people. Alan and Andrea still actually both work for Foster's, but they've got their little vineyard in their home in Western Pyrenees and doing something very different. They've got a sparkling wine. This sparkling wine's a Tempranillo based sparkling vine. So we're starting to see sparkling Shiraz out there, but this is a sparkling Tempranillo at about 12.5% alcohol, and
nice
and lovely. It's just really something different.
Have you jumped on board I've noticed of late a product that is a sparkling Sauvignon Blanc?
Yeah, I haven't tried it. I have seen it and heard them out there, and I'd say it'd be a pretty fresh, lively number. I think it's pretty clever, isn't it?
Don't.
To put a couple of good winners together, perhaps.
look, they have, but I don't... The idea is wonderful in theory. I think the execution could be lacking just a touch.
You've had a try, Pete?
Yes, I have. Sorry, the person you're listening to that I'm banging on to is Mark Cingarella, who is the Managing Director of Vino Bambino Wines, which is a new wine company that's looking at avant-garde. Now, why choose this style? Why avant-garde? What's made you take this little sort of diversion off the road of wine?
The Australian wine industry is really, really still quite young. And, you look at what most of us are familiar with, it's Shiraz and it's Cabernet and
Cabernet.
And Chardonnay maybe, and, and those
New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc.
And New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, exactly. So this is just taking it to another level, and there's a lot of people out there doing some very, very exciting things. So certainly the industry is just continuing to change, and I think we'll see a hell of a lot of difference in the next 5 and 10 years with these varietals like, Prosecco and Pinot Grigio and Sangiovese and Grenache. And, Grenache is a bit of a misnomer. It's sort of, people don't really quite understand.
Well, it's commonly used as a blending grape.
That's right. It still is a fantastic blending grape, but as a straight varietal, it's a lovely wine as well. So, yeah, I think it's just, that's where my passion lies, is just looking to try and find something different, but obviously something that works and works well and that people enjoy.
Now, because the reason we're talking to you, apart from talking about Vino Bambino, is that you are in assisting with the Leukemia Foundation's Light the Night Australia 2009.
We are. Yeah, it's something we're really happy to be a part of. We got approached via the Hilton, and we know a couple of people there, and we're more than happy to put our hand up and be a part of it. So we've kindly donated 6 cartons of wine of our little Vespa Pinot Grigio and of the Prince Sparkling and things like that. you know, a great thing to be a part of. It's, you know, we're fortunate, we're alive and well, and some people probably aren't so fortunate, so where we can help, it's great. It's great to be a part of it, yeah.
Light the Night is, I think, a brilliant campaign. It's getting the family together with a bit of entertainment, some food, and a chance to hear some fairly inspirational stories. And as the night launches itself upon us and darkness falls, there are balloons with little lights in them that you sort of take inside, and it's quite a beautiful atmosphere. It's kids and adults and old folk are welcome for this casual walk with no fitness requirements. It is for the Leukemia Foundation. They are a not-for-profit organisation. And to have a look at what they do, you can go to www.lightthenight.org.au.
Yeah. And did you mention, I think they're running around the Alexandra Gardens, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure if you mentioned that.
Yeah. They are running around, sorry, I didn't mention that. They are running around the Alexandra Gardens. Or you can, in fact, walk, crawl, stagger, or, well, hobble, really. Mark, good luck with Vino Bambino. It's a great idea to start introducing newer wines and styles and some sort of experimental stuff to the market. Certainly something that we need. And thank you for joining us on Cravings.
Oh, Pete, thanks very much. Have a great day.
Good on you.
Lovely.
That's Mark Cingarella. He is from Vino Bambino Wines. And I would suggest that if you like wines that are a little bit different, one of our upcoming guests, Adrian Richardson at La Luna, probably the best feed of pig in Melbourne, out there in Carlton, he'll be joining us in a few weeks to talk about his very restaurant. Now, we did talk to Robin Lewis a bit earlier from visitvineyards.com, and she mentioned that there is the Shed Fest on it in the Yarra Valley on the 10th and 11th of October, and there's also the Nillumbik Shed Fest on the 17th and 18th of October, both of those fairly close to Melbourne. Now, if you go to visitvineyards.com, you can win yourself a double membership to give away. You can win yourself a double membership when you go to the website and check out those articles on Shedfest and the Open Cellars of Nillumbik. If you go to visitvineyards.com, click on the link at the bottom of the articles and you're in the draw to win a membership to the site, a double membership worth $170. There you go. Thanks, of course, to Robin Lewis. And being a member of Visit Vineyards gives travellers a whole bunch of wine and food benefits when you visit not only the Yarra Valley, but anywhere else around the country. Sadly, our time has ended yet again all too quickly. Thanks to Heath, who's sitting out there on the desk, working, beavering furiously away. Thanks also to Lonnie, who's puts the show to air, presses all the buttons and dials at the appropriate moments. Stay tuned. New show coming up in just a few minutes called Soul Shift. And it's going to take you on a bit of a journey for body, mind and soul. But this has been another episode of Cravings here on Joy 94.9 for more news of food and wine.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.